May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 199. Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, oh fix me on it, mount of God's unchanging love. Hymn 199.
Thank you. us read together from the Holy Word of God, from the book of Exodus, chapter 14. The book of Exodus, reading chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot, and took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen, and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi Hahiroth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, Hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness? And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not. Stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more for ever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honour upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honour upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued, and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily. So that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to grant his blessing upon his word and help and teach us now to pray. Most holy, almighty, yet merciful, gracious God, help us to come before thee now Oh, to behold the throne of grace. The promise draws us near. There Jesus, with a smiling face, waits to answer prayer. For thou art the true God, the living God, the prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God. Lord, grant us to know, my Lord and my God. Oh, may I call thee mine. Oh, Lord, save us from unbelief, and yet save us from presumption. Oh, to be made sure, grant us, dear Lord, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Thy Spirit to bear witness with our spirits that we are of the children of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus, all found numbered amongst the living family of God, those elect vessels of mercy, such who have found grace in thy sight. With them numbered, O may I be, now and in eternity. Oh Lord, do look upon us as we gather here on this afternoon hour. May the gathering of the people be unto thee, and may Christ be first, and may Christ be last, and may Christ be all in all. Oh Lord, do be pleased to grant thy felt presence here. Oh Lord, who come into our midst, may there be that sacred awe about this place, the Lord is here. And oh Lord, may thy Spirit be at work, move upon the face of the waters, may there be that outpouring of thy Spirit, may the Holy Ghost fall upon all who hear the word, may there be that, oh, blessing, the Lord blessing his word, applying thy word with power. O Lord, prepare hearts to receive thy word. Grant us that hearing of faith, the hearing ear, the wise and understanding heart. O, to hear thy voice. Grant us, Lord, that gracious discernment, to discern that still small voice. That word applied, that word which will enter in, that word which will abide in our hearts. Oh Lord, may we not have come in vain. Oh, may we not have come just out of form, expectancy. But Lord, may there be that wrought in our hearts out of a real need. All those true desires to worship thee, in spirit and in truth, that our souls might be fed, or that we might be profited here, Lord, or that there might be a blessing, a word in due season, a help by the way. Oh Lord, those who feel the plague of their own hearts, those who know that they are sinners, feel to be so unworthy, so undeserving, and yet, Lord, would come as beggars, begging thy mercy, begging thy grace, oh, pleading that name which is above every name, the name of Jesus, and pleading his blood and his righteousness. I can no denial take when I plead for Jesus' sake. O Lord, do hear the prayers offered up for the services here today. O Lord, those who have come crying out for help, crying out for mercy, all crying out, Lord, to hear thy voice, greatly fearing thy silence, be not silent to me. Lord, is it not one of the greatest concerns of all the living soul, thy silence. He answered her not a word. But, O Lord, do be pleased in thy great mercy, so to speak this day, and cause thy voice to be heard. O Lord, may we not go away disappointed, go away empty, go away feeling there was nothing, but may there be a portion for seven, and also for eight. Lord, that eight soul, in great need, in great trouble, in great distress, Lord, that eighth soul who feels to be pressed out of measure. Lord, that eighth soul who has come to their wit's end. Oh, Lord, that eighth soul who feels, as it were, ready to perish. Oh, Lord, that eighth soul who has turned in, hoping against hope. Lord, remember that eighth soul and go to such, we pray. Lord, if any have come in prayerless and indifferent, O Lord, do be pleased to quicken, be pleased to awaken, to call them by thy grace. O Lord, may there yet be that testimony from heaven, for behold, he prayeth. So, Lord, do look upon each one assembled. Bless the dear little ones, the children, and the young people, we do thank thee for them. Lord, do remember them as they grow up, and be that wall of fire round about them. Oh, keep them, Lord, from this vain, wicked, evil world, and all its carnalities. Oh, Lord, all its carnal attractions, all its enticements. Do plant thy holy fear deep into their hearts. O Lord, may all these children be taught of the Lord, taught to pray, taught that one thing is needful, taught to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and to prove all these necessary things shall be added unto you. Lord, we would remember those who have tests and examinations approaching. Help them to look to thee. O Lord, do grant that wisdom that is right in thy sight. Help them in all their studies, all their revision. O Lord, and do grant that success according to thy most holy will. O Lord, do remember all in the midst of life. Many burdens, many cares, many responsibilities, many duties in the workplace, in the home. O Lord, do grant that strength sufficient. O Lord, do grant that gracious help. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. O Lord, that cry so often pleaded, day by day, at times hour by hour. Lord, help me. Remember older friends also, in old age and weakness and infirmity. Lord, be with them still. Remember them still. Though the outward man perisheth, may they prove the inward man to be renewed day by day. And as they draw near their journey's end, oh, to know how precious is their heavenly friend. Lord, we would remember such who may walk a lonely pathway, a trying pathway, those who may be cast down by the hardness of the way, those longing for thy appearing. Oh, Lord, do remember such. We would rejoice with those who do rejoice, and we would mourn with those who do mourn. Lord, do bless this cause of truth. Oh, may they yet prove that thy Spirit remaineth here. Grant those evidences of thy Spirit's work. Oh, Lord, who work mightily in the midst. Pull down those strongholds of Satan. And build up thy kingdom here, the kingdom of thy grace. The Lord adding such as shall be saved, both in church and congregation. O Lord, remember the officers of the church and grant much grace, much wisdom. Lord, do bless the church here and each one in the congregation, and what we pray for here, we pray for each cause represented. Lord, we would remember thy servants also, be with them, help them, encourage them, strengthen them, and go before them still. O Lord, do remember Zion, return with mercies unto Zion, build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Lord, we live in an evil day, a dark day, a difficult day. Oh, grant grace that we be kept faithful. Oh, Lord, may we not be left to compromise, to sell the truth, to turn aside to lighter things. Oh, to be kept in that narrow way. We would be thankful for all thy many, many mercies. Oh, Lord, truly we're surrounded by thy goodness, mercy, kindness, the supply of our every need. We have lacked nothing. Thou hast been better to us than all that we deserve. Oh, grant us, Lord, truly thankful hearts to praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Now, Lord, do help us as we would further sing thy worthy praises. And help us as we turn to thy word. Open it up to our understanding. O Lord, send help both in pulpit and in pew, for without thee we can do nothing. So, Lord, we look to thee. O, pardon and forgive our every sin. We ask all for Jesus' sake alone.
Hymn number 535. Oh, the love of Christ to sinners, who can make its wonders known? Sin-born slaves, through grace, are winners of a bright celestial crown. Jesus gives us endless glory and renown. Hymn 535.
Thank you.
as the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I would direct your prayerful attention to two words that you will find in Exodus chapter 14, verse 15, the last two words, go forward. The book of Exodus, chapter 14, and the last two words in verse 15, go forward. The verse reads, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. So often it is spoken of as the children of Israel here, a type of the New Testament Church of God. Egypt, a type of this world. The Promised Land, a type of heaven. But then the wilderness, a type of that pilgrimage, that pathway that the Lord's people must walk through to get to heaven at last. Or there must be a coming forth out of Egypt. Wherefore come out from among them, and be separate, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and ye shall be my children, and I will be your father. Or there must be a coming forth out of this world, a leaving this world's deceitful shore, leaving it to return no more. Only the Lord can bring his people forth out of this world. It is all of his grace, all of his spirit. And when a soul is wrought upon by the power of the Holy Ghost and born again, there will be a weaning from this world. There will be a separating from this world. This world will begin to lose its attractions. That soul will be brought into the school of Christ. Or there will be many lessons to be learned. This world is a city of destruction. We are sinners. We have sinned against God. Or there must be that fleeing from the wrath to come. A fleeing from this city of destruction. But a fleeing too. A fleeing to a place of safety, a place of refuge. And how the Lord will teach his people of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one thing needful. And by faith, at fleeing to him, our only hope, our only plea, our only refuge. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Precious in that felt need of him. Or precious in his precious sin atoning blood. Precious in his righteousness. Precious in his name. Precious in all that he has done. Precious in his word. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. And so the Lord draws his people out of the Egypt of this world. And there is that fleeing to Christ. There is that looking unto him. There is that race set before them. The way that they must go. And so often we think of those words in the psalm, and he led them forth by the right way. And if we are found amongst thee, true followers of the Lamb, the true disciples of the Lord Jesus, are we not following him? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And the Lord will lead that soul forth by the right way. And God doesn't make any mistakes. We make many mistakes. But the Lord is a good shepherd. He knows his sheep. He knows the way. He's gone that way before. He leads them safely on. Now it's much upon my mind the pilgrimage journey the child of God must take. Oh, may it be our great mercy to be found in that way. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Because wide is the gate, and broad is the way which leadeth unto death, and many are found therein. Dear soul, which way are you in this afternoon? And do you have that burden to be found in that narrow way? That one way which leadeth unto life. Or on pilgrimage. Indeed, have you and I left this world's deceitful shore? Or are we yet found in the world? Remember Lot's wife. A very solemn, very searching word. Yes, with her husband and daughters, she was brought out. Her body was brought out, but her heart was still there. And that's why she looked back. Her heart was there. Or the Lord will so separate his people from this world. My son, give me thine heart. Ah, how we need the Lord's almighty grace to bring us forth out of this world. To strive to enter in at the straight gate, that we be found in that narrow way, to labour to enter into that rest. If there's one thing the Lord will teach his people, it is that dependence upon him. Without me, ye can do nothing. And I'm sure there are some here this afternoon who can testify to that by experience. Without me, ye can do nothing. And yet also to prove that I can do all things and abound through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But only as Christ strengtheneth me. The Apostle Paul. The Lord saw fit that he should have that thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan that buffeted him. And it greatly distressed the Apostle. He longed for it to be removed, he longed for it to be taken away. And how he made it a matter of prayer. But the Lord did not take it away. But the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Oh, the child of God often has that thorn in the flesh. The child of God often has that which he would have removed, that he would have taken away. But the Lord, who is too wise to err, too good to be unkind, the Lord who doesn't make any mistakes, the Lord who is sovereign, in control, over and above all, or he doesn't take it away for wise purposes, that soul might learn, that soul might prove the sufficiency of his grace. Let me but hear my Saviour say, strength shall be equal to thy day. Then I rejoice in deep distress, leaning on all-sufficient grace. You see, that thorn in the flesh almost brought the apostle to a stand. It was so painful. It was so distressing. And for a time as he prayed, perhaps morning, noon and night, continually. We read he prayed thrice, but we do believe at his morning, noon and night, the Lord didn't remove it. And it was so painful and it was so distressing. But he must yet prove a sufficiency of God's grace. Now, just speaking briefly here of the children of Israel, they've been brought forth out of Egypt. The Lord had led them forth by the right way. The Lord had clearly led them to where he would have them to be. We have here really the specifics before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon. Really, you cannot get more clear than that. They were clearly led there by the Lord. And there they behold the sea before them. And as it is believed, the mountains on either side, to the left hand, to the right hand. And for a time they must wonder why they've come to this place. And now they hear or see the Egyptian army and their chariots pursuing them from behind. To all sense and reason they feel to be trapped. No way out. No way through. Had God made a mistake? God forbid. He himself knew what he would do. And so often in these biblical accounts, for those of us who have been brought up under the gospel ministry, brought up to know our Bibles, we know what happens. We know the end. We know the outcome. We know what the Lord did from our earliest days. But let us consider the children of Israel as they are there, not knowing what was before. Just like you and I do not know what may happen on tomorrow. We know not what is before us. So the children of Israel here, they did not know what was before them. And really, Moses, that man of God, he did not know what the Lord would do. Though I believe he was granted that faith to believe the Lord would appear, the Lord would deliver them, the Lord would undertake, the Lord would make a way, though I do believe that Moses did not know how the Lord would appear. But Moses believed that the Lord would appear. Dear friends, sometimes we come to those places where our faith is so tried. Oh, how we need the Lord to appear. Will the Lord appear? Things seem so impossible. Things seem so complex. Things seem so difficult. How can the Lord appear? How often we limit the Holy One of Israel. We just cannot see how even the Lord can appear in this matter. But we see here the sovereignty of God, the goodness of God, the Lord's care of his people. Yes, the people did speak unadvisedly with their lips. They accused Moses in bringing them out of Egypt. It's always struck me, these words. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, as if you should have listened to us? You should have listened to our reason. You should have listened to our sense. You should have listened to what we were saying. But no, he listened to the word of the Lord. Oh, may the Lord grant us grace to hear his voice, to obey his voice, and to trust in him. O, cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils. O, they say, is not this a word that we did tell thee in Egypt, as if we were right? Look what's happened. We're trapped. There's no way out. The Egyptians are going to destroy us. You should have listened to us, but no. No, Moses listened to the Lord. Oh, what faith has granted to Moses. Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Moses believed in that word of which the apostle speaks. If God be for us, who can be against us? But to the children of Israel, it seemed like everything was against them. The sea was a barrier against them. The mountains also barriers against them. The Egyptians most certainly were against them. Everything seemed against them. But if God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, to believe the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. But there seemed to be no way. I just wonder if there are some here this afternoon in your pathway, in your circumstances. There seems to be no way. You've come to a stop. You've come to your wit's end. Oh, there's that full stop. You feel you cannot carry on. Every door appears shut. Go forward. Lord, how can I go forward? By faith, looking unto Jesus. This was a word which the Lord, by Moses, spoke unto the children of Israel. Go forward. Mind you, they had to wait for that word. They could not be presumptuous. The Lord had led them here. The Lord had brought them here. And here, really, they would be taught to look to the Lord alone and to wait upon him. And you see, the Lord's dealings with his people. He brings them to these places where all sense and reason must fail. He brings them to these places where there is no help of man. They fell down and there was none to help. Very humbling. And yet does not the Lord humble his people? To make them so dependent upon him, to look to him, to trust in him, to wait upon him, to cast all their care upon him, and to believe the Lord will appear. To believe the Lord will appear. And then the word comes. Go forward. The Lord will make the way. It is that venturing in faith. Do we have one here this afternoon? And perhaps you may feel to be either like that prodigal son. Now a famine came to the land where he was. He had spent all. He began to be in want. No man gave unto him. He remembers his father's house. And he comes to that, I will arise and go unto my father and say, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thine hired servants. We might perhaps see there a soul, a guilty sinner, fleeing unto Jesus, begging for God's mercy. Now, with that son, he went to a far off country. It must have been a long way back. Oh, it must have been a hard way back. He was now a beggar. no man gave unto him. He had those fears, no doubt. What if my father should reject me? I've sinned against him. I've been most wicked. I've spent half his substance upon riotous living. Why should my father have mercy upon me? We wonder how many times perhaps he was brought to a stand. Go forward to seek the Lord while he may be found, to call upon him while he is near. Or do you not come seeking his mercy like that prodigal son sought the mercy of his father? He wasn't worthy. He wasn't deserving. Or perhaps that has brought you to a stand. You so feel to be unworthy, undeserving. Why should the Lord have mercy upon me? Why should the Lord have compassion upon me? Why should the Lord forgive all my sins? Or being brought to a stand, it may be, or you feel the greatness of your sins, the multitude of your sins, the magnitude of your sins. How can I expect mercy? Why should God be favourable to such a wretch as I? And it brings you to such a stand. Dear soul, go forward. This man receiveth sinners. Oh, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The vilest sinner out of hell who lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. But I also think of that dear woman who had the issue of blood. For 12 years with that affliction, 12 years going to earthly physicians. They may have made promises. They may have said, yes, we can help. And no doubt she had to pay them. 12 years later, she had not grown any better, but rather worse. She was now very poorly. And she had spent all. She was now bankrupt. But she hears of Jesus. And by God-given faith, she believes in the Lord Jesus. Or she believes that he is able to cure. He is able to heal. But she must go to him. Or she must venture. If I but touch a hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. But there was that great crowd around the Saviour, as if to prevent her, as if to stop her, as if to hinder her. And she was so weak, and she was so poor. How could she press through? Go forward in faith. In faith. I've often felt with that account it was God-given faith that enabled her to go forward, and she went forward because the Lord Jesus drew her unto himself. And the Lord draws all his people unto himself. But do we have that desire? Draw me. We will run after thee. Go forward. All that pressing through the crowd, that crowd of unbelieving doubts and fears, or that crowd around the Saviour, you'll find it dispersed as you venture forth. Go forward unto him, the merciful, gracious, kind, blessed Jesus. Go forward. Again, you may have that great fear. Oh, that lack of faith, that besetting sin of unbelief. How can I go? How can I go? I'm such a sinner. But then Jesus came to save his people from their sins. And it is those who are taught their need of him who must come to him. And they come in faith. They may feel they have little faith. But you see, it's that felt need of Christ. Give me Christ or else I die. Or they must go. Just comes to mind those lepers in the time of Elisha. When the Syrians had surrounded that city. And they were in a hopeless case. They were outside of the city because they were lepers. And there was the army, the Syrians, encamped around that city. The food was running out in the city. But they came to this. If they were to tarry there, they would die. If they were to go into the city, they would die there. If we would go into the camp of Assyrians, we may die. They ventured. They must have ventured trembling. But the Lord had gone before. Oh, not one Syrian there. The Lord had caused them to hear such a sound. And they'd all disappeared. Go forward. Oh, how often a child of God in his pathway comes to a stand. Like dear Jacob of old, crying out, all these things are against me. It seems impossible to carry on when our faith is so sorely tried. When the Lord is silent, when the Lord hides his face, or when the way seems so narrow, there seems to be no way at all. And at times a child of God may be so tempted, so tried, of even turning back. When the apostle wrote to the Hebrews, he was writing to a church or a people who were suffering a great fight of afflictions. They were suffering great tribulation. Or they were suffering from persecution. And some of them at least thought it would be perhaps better to turn back. To turn back. The apostle writes to them, if any soul turn back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who turn back. But who press on, who go forward in faith, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father in glory. Oh, consider him, what he endured, what he suffered. Did Christ my Lord suffer, and shall I repine? And yet we often do. All that temptation to turn back. In the synagogue at Capernaum, as the Lord Jesus preached, those nominal disciples, those who followed him to see the miracles, to see the cures, they were offended at his doctrine, at his preaching. This is an hard saying, who can hear it? And being offended, they turn back. And followed him no more. Jesus turned to his true disciples. Will ye also go away? Will ye also go away? Oh, how the Spirit so prompted Peter to answer the Lord, as it were, on behalf of all the disciples. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Go forward. Go forward. Go forward in faith. Oh, it must be God-given faith that a soul is enabled to go forward in dependence upon God, even when he feels there is no way forward. But when the Lord speaks, when the Lord applies his word, oh, they must venture. They must venture. That you may say, but the mountains, the valleys, the hills are crooked things. The mountains flow down at his presence. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight and the rough places plain. Every valley shall be exalted and every hill shall be made low. Go forward. Do we have one here this afternoon? Exercise, troubled in soul, concerning the ordinance of believers' baptism. That you think, how can I? How can I? You know it would be the right step. You know it's God honouring. You know it's according to the word of God. But you feel too backward. You feel, how can I take this step? You feel so unworthy, so poor. Go forward. How can I go? For love's sake. What shall I say? My Jesus hath done all things well. Oh, it's only the Lord who can speak this word into your heart. It may be that you've come seeking a word from the Lord. Go forward. The Lord will grant his help. The Lord will grant his grace. Or you'll see the Lord going before you in this way. Or may the Lord help you, enable you to go forward. And to go forward in faith. Again, I find it very much upon my spirit. There's a one here perhaps exercised. Regarding the ministry. Yes, a most solemn calling. But it's the Lord who's exercised your heart. Oh, it's the Lord who so puts these thoughts into your mind. Oh, it's the Lord who has so troubled you concerning this calling. And perhaps like Moses, there by the burning bush, you feel to have brought forth every argument why you cannot go. Every argument you can possibly think of. O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am of slower speech and of a slow tongue. The Lord replied, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. But even then, Moses tries, as it were, to avoid going. O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. Send another, not me. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Go forward. Go forward. What a great need there is in the churches for pastors. It is scriptural. It is according to the will of God. I would speak very, very carefully, but it does trouble me, the amount of travelling ministers do on a Lord's Day, crisscrossing the country. I just wonder if these things are right. But it's for the Lord to exercise the hearts of his people. It is the Lord to lead his people, to guide them, or we cannot afford to make any mistakes. But where the Lord does show his will, or where the Lord does lead that church to one, go forward. Go forward. Yes, it is one thing to wait upon the Lord. That is right. That is scriptural. But then we do not wait indefinitely upon the Lord. He is a prayer hearing and prayer answering God. Oh, like Moses, there was that time that he must go. Like Gideon, there was that time that he must go. Like the Apostle Paul, there was that time that he must go. Where the Lord would have him to go. I do believe the Lord works at both ends, both with the church and with a man, and brings the two together. Go forward. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward, but forward in faith. Yes, there are the enemies. Unbelief is a great, great enemy. Or it is that besetting sin. Or how it so plagues the child of God who cries out, scatter all my unbelief. Lord, increase my faith. Often we feel, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? My mind just goes to the disciples when the Lord Jesus constrained them into that ship to go over the other side before him. And we would notice there how the Lord Jesus constrained them into that ship. There appeared to be a reluctance. There appeared to be many fears. But they had the word of the Lord. They were to go forward. They must launch forth. And then we read, and it was now dark. And Jesus had not come unto them, but he saw them toiling in rowing because the wind was contrary. And so much of the pilgrimage of a child of God, we find the wind is contrary. According to sense and reason, the easiest thing for them to do was to turn back and go back to shore. They would have been back in no time at all. But no. They had no word of the Lord to turn back. They must yet press on, toiling and labouring, all in the dark, in the deep. The wind being contrary, things were not easy, things were not straightforward. But the word was, go forward. And as thy day, so shall thy strength be. Go forward. All the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Go forward. There was the Lord Jesus high up in that mountain, praying for them. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Oh, go forward. Jesus now at the right hand of the Father, in glory above, who also maketh intercession for us. Oh, who has promised that sufficiency of his grace. Who has promised, fear thou not, I will be with thee. I will help thee, I will strengthen thee, I will uphold thee by the right hand of my righteousness. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, poor, weak, trembling, worthless worm, I will help thee. Go forward. Go forward. Oh, that we feel our weakness, we feel our insufficiency. Or we may feel our poverty. Lord, who am I? Who am I but a poor sinner? But then, oh, to look to the Lord. To look to the Lord for all needed grace, for all sufficient grace, for our sufficiency is of God. Oh, to prove his strength perfect in our weakness. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Go forward. I do believe, again, the pathway of many a child of God, there are many disappointments. That is, disappointments to our flesh. Disappointments to our carnal mind. Disappointments to what we had thought. Disappointments to what we wanted. Many shut doors. And perhaps it's caused us much heart searching. And we wonder why. But here the Lord would have his people wait upon him and look to him and trust in him. And then the hand of the Lord is seen opening a door. Now, it may not be a way that perhaps you wanted to go, expected to go, or it may be a way where you fear there's going to be many difficulties, many troubles, many trials. But the thing is, the Lord has opened that door. Thine ear shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is a way, walk ye in it when ye turn to the left hand, when ye turn to the right. Go forward. Oh, it may be like Samuel, whom the Lord told to anoint one of the sons of Jesse. How can I go? It was one of the sons of Jesse, David himself, who later said, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. Or that is how we go. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. Go forward. I will just say this, to see the Lord's hand. To see the Lord's hand going before you, to see the Lord's hand opening that door. Oh, may the Lord grant us that grace of discernment in discerning his voice, his hand, his way. As I said at the outset, we make so many mistakes. And I wonder how many mistakes we make because we do not wait upon the Lord. We may become impatient, impulsive, determined to have our own way, determined to have our own will. Rather than waiting upon the Lord, my soul, wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from him. Oh, but when you see the Lord opening that door, making that way, oh, the Lord grant that faith of humble obedience to go forward. Let me end on this point. Obedience. If there is one sin the Lord will visit his people with a rod, it is that sin of disobedience. The Lord does not tolerate disobedience. It will call for the rod, and that rod will be very painful and very distressing. My mind goes straight away to Jonah. Jonah, for a time, disobedient. He didn't want to go forward to Nineveh. He feared what might happen there. He thought he could flee from the presence of God unto Tarshish. We all know what happened to Jonah. But the Lord was merciful. And after the fish vomited out Jonah upon the dry land, the word of the Lord came a second time unto Jonah, exactly the same word, arise and go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach a preaching that I bid thee. Go forth. He still had to go. And I'm sure that dear man of God wished he had gone the first time. All these things are written as warnings to you and me against disobedience. Oh, dear friend, do not think you can disobey God and get away with it. The worldling may, the professor of religion may, but the child of God never will. I say it again, as one sin the Lord will most solemnly deal with, that sin of disobedience. Oh, the Lord, keep us humble in his tender fear to trust and obey. Oh, to seek grace to know and do his will, to do that which is right in his sight. And by faith, go forward. Well, I did feel this word greatly laid upon me to venture with this afternoon. We must leave it with the Lord. It's his word. It's his people. It's his honour. It's his glory. Oh, but may the Lord grant us that grace to trust and obey and go forward. Amen.
Tea will be served shortly after the close of this service on the right-hand side of the chapel. Let us close with hymn 984. Hark how the gospel trumpet sounds, Christ and free grace therein abounds, free grace to such a sinner as thee, and if free grace, why not for me? Hymn 984.
Thank you.
the grace of the Saviour and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.